and all glory be to God. We pray in the Lord's name. Amen. Let's start with a new study from Arizona Christian University. According to its results, among the Christians taking the survey, I have to highlight that in the Christians taking the survey, only 48% believe that the Bible is infallible. In other words, more than half of so-called Christians still have doubt about the Bible, not even sure if it's God's word. They cannot be sure if the Bible is God's word. This is a bad thing. And even worse, let us see the next PowerPoint. Now in the United States, 58% of people in America think that it's up to you to decide what is true. And you can set the moral standard in your own opinion. So, brothers and sisters, all these come back to the human-centered philosophy. The prevailing humanism in the world really entails no end of trouble. As long as man does not identify this modesty, but exalt people themselves, as long as we exalt ourselves, the result is to bring detriment to the whole mankind. So today we have to clarify again the truth of salvation, especially in this time of chaos. And so today's topic is, what does it mean to be saved? Is there any difference between believing in the Lord and be saved? Let's first read the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God about the Jews is that they would be saved. For I can testify on their behalf that they have a zeal for God, but it is not in keeping with true knowledge. For they are ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, while they try to establish their own, and they have not submitted to God's means to attain righteousness. We see how Paul hoped for the salvation of his fellow Israelites. But their problem was that they had a zeal for God. Yes, they had a zeal. But they were ignorant of the righteousness of God. So they thought to establish their own. Let us stop here and think about it. Why is salvation connected with the righteousness of God? Because we are people who need to be saved. Here we see it's repeating the words righteousness. The key point is that we were sinners before. We are not righteous. The only way that we can become the righteous from a sinner that we need to believe in God's righteousness. And we have talked about the righteousness of God before, so we don't say much today. Here in the book of Romans, we need to know how God's righteousness is connected to us. In verse 4, it says, Paul says, for the Messiah is the culmination of the law, as far as righteousness is concerned for everyone who believes. What is a culmination? Culmination equals to accomplishment. Jesus Christ accomplished all the requirements of the law, and Jesus paid the price of his life for us sinners. Only Jesus and Jesus alone could do all that the law requires of sinners. Surely some people will ask, why does God give the law to people? For the end of the law is to bring man to Christ. Let us see the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. I'll read it for you. It is also written by Paul. It says, and so the law was our guardian until the Messiah came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come about, we are no longer under a guardian. For all of you are God's children through faith in the Messiah Jesus. Back then, in Roman families, the master would have tutored, just like in China, in the ancient China, there will be some family teacher came to a family to teach the family's children. In Roman families, the master would have tutor to teach their children. So the law for the Jews was just like the teaching of the Roman tutors. By the time the child was over 16 years old, he already knew how to walk in a proper manner. And then there was no need for tutors. So let us see again, verse 25. But now that faith has come about, we are no longer under a guardian. Through this verse, we know when we know the background of Roman societies, it will be easier for us to understand this verse. In verse 26, it says, for all of you are God's children through faith in the Messiah Jesus. The key word here is faith. Now we know that the function of the law is to bring people to Jesus, because men cannot be justified by their own works in the sight of God. If we can be justified by our own works, there's no difference between our belief and other religions. It's all through Jesus' work that we can be saved. We cannot anything to Jesus' salvation. So the emphasis here that it is only through faith in Jesus that we can be justified in the sight of our Heavenly Father. Let us go back to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 5 through 7. Here, Paul began to quote Moses' words. It says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that comes from the law as follows. The person who obeys these things will find life by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven? That is to bring the Messiah down. Or who will go down into the depths? That is to bring the Messiah back from the dead." We need to understand these words in depth. Why did Paul quote Moses at this point? What he's really saying is that no one can do the perfect law. Not even one. That is to tell his fellow Israelites that it is absolutely impossible for them to live up to all the requirements of the law. And then it goes on in verse 6 that only righteousness coming from faith can. It can be seen that Paul's emphasis is still on believing in the salvation of Jesus Christ. And his point helped the believers at that time to know better about salvation. Here he quotes the Old Testament scriptures in his argument. The main two points are as follows. The first one is the birth of Jesus brings justification by faith. And in verse 6 it says, "Who will go up to heaven? That is to bring the Messiah down." What does it mean? No one can do that. And there is no need for that. For Jesus Christ had already come down. And Jesus is sent by our Heavenly Father according to our Father's will. How can we go up to heaven to bring the Messiah down as a human? Paul just wanted to tell them that it is impossible to do that. And the second point is, the resurrection of Jesus is assurance of victory. In verse 7, it says, "Who will go down into the depths? That is to bring the Messiah back from the dead." No one can do that either. And there's no need for that either. For Jesus Christ has risen, testifying his power over death. We notice that Paul has made good use of arguments to make it clear that the way of salvation must be by faith. Even at this point, Paul predicted that some would still ask, where then is the word? Paul answered, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. I will repeat this message again. From verse 5 through 7, Paul makes it clear that no one can go up to heaven to bring the Messiah down, and no one can go down into the depths to bring Messiah back. And then he predicted that some would still ask, where then is the word? Paul answered, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. We can see that Paul was trying his best to make it clear what it does mean to believe in the God, believe in the Lord. In verse 9 to 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with his heart and is justified and declares with his mouth and is saved. Attention here, what one says and what one thinks must match with each other. It's a simple truth. What you say, what you says, and what you think must match with each other. Just like we Chinese always say that, a saying in Chinese, to say what you mean without duplicity. Even if you can lie to yourself, God will not be deceived. Many times we see people who claim to be Christians walking away. That is completely contrary to what they declare. It reminds me of what Jesus said. He says, at that time, the sheep will be separated from the goats. The sheep will be separated from the goats. And on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? But the Lord will declare to them, I never knew you. Go outside to weep and gnash your teeth. Dear brothers and sisters, that's what the Lord said. It is true that on that day, the true Christian will be separated from the false Christian. Because only our Lord is the righteous God. Today and in the past, there have been false Christians, false teachers, and false preachers all the time. That's the work of Satan. Just take a look at how many people are deceived by all kinds of heresies. Just spend a little time, you will see that there are a lot of heresies in our world. So today, the Orthodox churches have a great responsibility. we ourselves first need to be very clear about the truth of salvation. For it is a matter of one's eternal life and eternal death. In addition, there are some people who became Christians without really knowing their faith. They think they have been saved, but there's no difference between their life before and after believing in the Lord. That's a big problem. The solution is that we need to help those brothers and sisters again to make clear what does it mean to believe in the Lord. For anyone who receives a new life in Christ must be different from their old self. Their life must be different from their old self. For example, Jeremy Lin, who plays basketball, is familiar to us. He's a true Christian. Many of us have seen or read some of his witnesses. The life of a true Christian must be different from their life before. And Dr. James Dobson, whom we all respect, he is respected by us because of his life witnesses. He and his team focus on education, which is very helpful for children and young adults. And their life witness show us what a true Christian is. And Dr. Ben Carson, a former renowned neurosurgeon, used to pray to the Lord Jesus for help before every operation. As a doctor, he was very cautious. So every time when he did the operation, he prayed to the Lord Jesus for help before every operation. But now he is the United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And I'd like to highlight Rob James and Betty Robinson. Rob James was called at age 18 in 1962 to help the underprivileged. At that time, he opened wells for millions of children in Africa so that they can have clean water to drink. Back then, the water they drink is not clean. So God called him to do these things for the children in Africa. So they can have clean water to drink. It's just like what the Bible says. God used his children to be of living water. and they bring it to millions of people. If you have time, you can search online, Life Outreach International Ministry online. I was just giving you a few examples, but there are many different manifestations of the lives of those who were saved. They have the willingness to obey God. One thing they all have in common, though they do different work, that is their willingness to obey God and do what the Lord Jesus called them to do with their whole life. It's very important to have this willingness. So brothers and sisters, no matter you're in Europe or Asia, when we call Jesus our Lord, He is the Lord of our life and of our daily life. Because He loves us so much, we have no good apart from Him. The Lord used people who are 100% obedient to God. We need to encourage one another that our Lord holds tomorrow. Now let us go back to the topic, the message. What does it mean to believe in the Lord? Simply put, anyone who repents and opens their heart to accept Jesus as Savior and is willing to acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of their life is saved. To consider it from another aspect, people who have no relationship with Jesus before are connected to Him because of their repentance and belief. From then on, their inner life will begin to change. We all understand that because of God's salvation and man's faith, people who used to be outside Christ now have entered into Jesus Christ, entered into a real spiritual world. It turns out that a finite human can't commune with an infinite God. How amazing! Praise be to the Lord. In fact, coming to faith in Christ is just the starting point. Because the Lord Jesus said, He is the vine, we are the branches. Whoever abides in Him and He in them. That indicates a connected relationship. Once you believe in the Lord, you are branches, and the Lord is the vine. We are connected to Him, and we are helped by the Lord to live our life. So I'm going to break this whole process into five steps, which I hope you can remember. The five steps include trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord, love the Lord, proclaim the Lord, and enjoy His life. Trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord, love the Lord, proclaim the Lord, and enjoy His life. I I have a burden to share more about proclaim the Lord. As for a Christian who does not spread the gospel, Satan has no interest in you. As soon as you try to fulfill the Lord's great mission of preaching the gospel, when you try to be obedient, Satan the devil will make trouble for you. And the life will be difficult for you. The more fervent you are, and the more lost souls you want to save, the angrier Satan will get. But fear not, for we rely on Jesus, the mighty Lord, who had been raised from the dead, who has the authority from heaven to earth. So just pressing on. And one day, when you look back, you will never regret. So, let us review the five steps together. Trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord, love the Lord, proclaim the Lord, and enjoy His life. Every step will help us grow, and every step is worthy of our rethinking. You need to reflect on the whole process. Those who are truly willing to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus will enjoy His life. I will repeat again. Those who truly preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus will enjoy the blessing God gives. So after man is saved, he will keep going on his way to sanctification. Millions of saints have had such experience through the ages. The last point that why believing in the Lord is so connected to the righteous? Because we are sinners before. It is only through faith that we can become the righteous. Jesus told us that He's the road, the truth. No one can reach God the Father without me. It means that Jesus is the only truth. Without Jesus, we cannot draw near to our Heavenly Father. The second point is that since we have received the word of life, we should certainly live out the word of life. Specifically, every one of us has to make all kinds of different decisions in our lives. And at this time, our belief plays a key role in the decisions we make. That is to say that our decision is made according to the biblical principles. It is very important. If, as some Christians are not clear about the biblical principles, they prone to do to make a decision according to their own past experience. Let us all go back to the biblical principles. And today's topic is, what does it mean to believe in the Lord? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us your word in the book of Romans, chapter 10. In this time of chaos, please give us a clear revelation. Lord, help us to be honest, upright, courageous, and we admit that we have weak points. But your teaching teach us to be honest, upright, courageous. Because you don't like people who are dishonest. Because you don't like the people who gain power through their deceiving heart, deceiving methods. Please prepare us for the darkness. Just like what the psalmist reminds us, there might be weeping at night, but we will wake up joyfully in the morning. May you give us strength. Do the right things in your sight. Help us to be a person of honesty, integrity. We know in this spiritual war, Satan knows that there's little time for him. He creates big problems in the world. More unfairness. But we rely on you. We thank your grace. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us bow our head to pray for our offering today. Dear Lord, we thank you again that we can stand before you because of your grace. Dear Lord, we are willing to give you our offering. May you accept our offering. Lord, may our prayer can, may you hear our prayer and our prayer can help the people around us. Let people know that you love us and you gave up, gave your life for us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.